Well, praise God. Well, it's exciting to see what's all that's been happening around the place. And remember, we're all a part of that. It's not just a few people, but we're all in it together. And it's just wonderful to be able to be a part and see all that God is doing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I just want to share this morning, we started talking about our theme of radical love. I'm told I'm not to stand right there, so I won't stand right there. A theme of radical love, and about that's our theme for the year. And that we're really on a journey of discovering to really understand the love of God. If we grab a hold of this, it'll be transforming. You that are longing for healing, you'll be able to tap into those things, those that are looking for all sorts of things in our lives. And we think, Lord, am I ever going to get that? Or is it just for everyone else? And we don't seem to understand the blessing and God's provision in our life, our relationships. Maybe you struggle. Maybe there's not that depth in there. Maybe there's all sorts of situations that we need God flowing in our lives. And we've got to grab a hold of it. This will be transforming stuff. But one of the main scriptures that we have for this year is Ephesians 5:2. It says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We've just had communion. And it talks about living a life of love. And really that's our heart this year, that we'll learn to live a life of love. Not just be loving. On occasions, the worst unbeliever can be loving. A notorious serial killer murderer can be loving towards his girlfriend or maybe even his children. But for us to be ones that live a life of love and to understand that, and just as Christ loved us. And 1 John 4:16 from the passage of 1 John 4 that we looked at last week, it said that God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And so we talked about that we cannot actually be flowing in the kind of love that we're talking about, this radical love, without the God connection in it, without us being connected with God. He is the source, the kind of love that we are talking about. Not a worldly kind of love that's whimsical, that will come and go, in and out of love, but an enduring love, the covenantal love, this radical love that we're talking about. So I want to talk very briefly about the covenants, very briefly, and then talk about how God expresses his love in covenant. It's such an important thing. I know that we've taught about this before. Maybe some of us haven't heard some of these things, but we, at the end of the day, I'm not going to go in at length on this subject because we have taught about it. If you don't know anything about it, go on our website, scroll down through and find a message on it about learning a little bit about covenant. But it's so important that we understand that God's love to us is a covenantal love. And if we can grab a hold of just that simple fact this morning, it is a liberating thought in our own heart, in our own life. Because what we tend to do is our own understanding of our love and our own experience of love and even our own expression of love, we somehow intend to transform that of who we are and our understanding and our outworking love. And we take that and we stick it on God. And we think God loves us the same way that we love. Praise God that he doesn't. Because we're not very good at loving in our own human love. We know that. We fail miserably. And just imagine that. But a lot of our whole relationship with God is we build that based on our own understanding of love and the way that we love. And we think that's the way that God loves and that's the way that God loves us. Well, I want to pray that we just break some mindsets today, that we begin to understand that his love is a covenantal love. Because what tends to happen is that some of you may have even come to church this morning. And maybe that you made certain commitments and that you haven't honored that. Maybe you were going to pray a certain amount of times, or we prayed for those people, those souls, you know, the people that we wrote down last week that we want to have in the Lamb's Book of Life. And maybe you wrote down the names and then you've gone the whole week and you haven't prayed. Or maybe you've done some things. Maybe, you know, you did a Kevin Rudd. It's all over the front page of the paper. And maybe you said some things that you should know that you should never have said. Maybe you've thought some things that you know you should never think. Maybe you've done some things, you know, really, I shouldn't have done that. Or maybe there was things I should have done which I didn't do. And what can happen is that we can then come into church and we come there and we think we've got to come to church and somehow now because of what we failed in and because we didn't do and because of what we maybe did do that we shouldn't have, that somehow that when we come to God, that there was somehow there's something diminished between us and God, that there's something between us and God, that his love is somehow no longer there for us. Now, I'm not saying that there's a license for sin. If we have sin in our life, we need to deal with it, but we don't. What we tend to do is think that now I've got to get in God's good books again. I've got to somehow make up for what I didn't do, or somehow cover up for what I did, or somehow get in God's good books. Because this week, for whatever reason, you feel that you're not in God's good books this week, and then try to work your way back to that place. Sometimes we distort communion. We make communion the time of, I better get my heart right now before God because of my week. And try to somehow, during that process, that God will somehow make me right again. It's about understanding God as a covenantal God, with His love as covenantal. It is actually understanding that it comes from Him. It doesn't come from us. But we want to make it about us. We want to make it about us. We want to make it about being good enough and whatever else, and having that relationship with God. Now, God will deal with sin. We need to deal with sin in our heart and life. But we don't come to God and hoping that somehow now that I'm going to get myself right again, that somehow God is going to love me once again, somehow that blessing is going to be there. I want us to understand that God is a covenantal God, to understand really what that means. Because we don't understand we won't understand radical love, but we don't understand He's the God of covenant. He's a covenantal God. Now, covenant is a big topic. I'm not going to talk in length about covenant, but in the Old Testament times, there was different levels of contracts that they could have. And you find them in the scripture. You'll find them taking off a sandal. You know, we want to make this commitment to take over this inheritance. So they'll remove a sandal and somehow putting down the sandal and whatever. There was some sort of a contract that was done in some way. There was all sorts of contracts that had all sorts of performance and things that you did to break the contract. But the most powerful agreement that could ever be made was to actually enter into a covenant, and that was to enter into a blood covenant. Basically, a covenant is something that is born out of relationship. But like everything else, even what we tend to do with our relationship with God, we even make that a contract, that it's a performance-based thing rather than it's a covenantal relationship that God has made with us. Covenant is so much more powerful than some sort of a contract. Don't make your relationship with God a contract. Let it be something that flows out of God's covenant that He has made with us. But we want to make it a contract. Oh no, I haven't done this. Boom, I've blown the whole deal. Deal's off. It's not. It's a covenant that we've made, and it's a covenant that we've celebrated around communion. And that's what we want to grab a hold of in our lives and understand that. Basically, it's a foundation of covenant. It comes out of relationship, and that is the power of covenant. When covenant was made, they would make the most enduring covenant is a blood covenant. And so what they would do is, as God says to Abraham, He tells them to get a heifer, a goat, a ram, 3 years old, a dove, a pigeon. And what they would do, and just to cut a covenant together, they would get them and they would chop them in half. And so you got your half a cow here, half a cow there, all these dismembered animals, and there'd be blood flowing everywhere. And then the two people that were making their covenant together would get, and they would walk up and down through this path of blood and backwards and forwards again, and they would be stating their commitment and their covenant to one another. And basically, in the process of doing that, they were saying, if I break this covenant, then let it happen to me what's happened to these animals. This is to death. We are making a promise to death, and they're entering into that covenant together. But the most powerful covenants are ones where it's basically one way. We come into covenant with God. What are we going to give God? What can we bring to God? And God actually comes into covenant with us, and He's done that by the blood of Jesus Christ. It tells us in Hebrews 9:18, it says, that's why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. There's something about blood in covenants. We've already talked a little bit about the blood of Jesus Christ. But blood was shed for that covenant to be sealed. It was sealed in the blood. And so the important part of covenant that God has made with us is, there's many examples of covenant, and there's some noted down on your sermon summary. You're not going to waste time reading them. You can read that. That's why you've got it. But there's many examples of covenants. But the powerful covenant is the covenants that God has made with us. He made an initial covenant right at the beginning with Abraham. And his covenant was Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you, and my heart is for you. And that's the kind of covenantal relationship. What did Abraham have to do? The first covenant, when it's mentioned, Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, didn't have to do anything. God makes a promise with him. He makes an oath under his word, under God. He makes the promise to him and says, I'm making this promise to you. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. He makes this incredible amount of promise. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to go before you. He makes this incredible promise to him. And we are the same ones that stand under that same promise in our hearts, in our lives. But do we stand not far beyond, even a far more powerful than covenant that was even made, that when the covenant was made, which we've talked about, through communion by the blood of Jesus Christ, God makes his promise to us and he says that you're my child, I'm for you, and you belong to me. And my heart is for you, my favor is for you, my blessing is for you, you're my child, I'm your healer, I'm your savior, I'm your provider, I'm your redeemer, and I'm all these things, and I'm promising you those things, and I have sealed it in the very blood of my son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. And so he has made a covenantal relationship with us. But again, what do? We make it a contract. I haven't done my, Lord, I'm sorry, I've let you down again, and the deal's off. No, the deal's not off. If there's sin, you deal with sin. But the deal's not off because it's a covenant that God has made to death. God's not going to die. He's going to live forever and ever. He's made a promise with us. This is the blood of the covenant, Jesus said in 26:28 of Matthew. This is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ made a, there was a covenant made with us. God cut covenant. They talk about cutting covenant. And God cut covenant when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He sealed his promise to us and every one of us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's made that covenant promise to you that he's your healer, that he's your savior, he's your provider, he's all of those things. He's our God, he's our protector, he's all of those things, and he's promised and he's made those, that commitment to us. So we are got to understand that there's covenant that God makes. God is a covenant God. He's a covenantal God. Ultimately, covenant boils down to a very simple thing. It's not about performance. It actually boils down to relationship. And ultimately, that's what God wants from us. That's what he wants from you. That's all he really wants from us is relationship. He wants to have relationship. Why did he create you? He created us for relationship. I read some crazy person who said that, the reason why God created man was to prove that he was just, you know, in judging the devil. Well, what absolute piffle nonsense is that? He created us purely because he loves us and wants to have relationship with us. He wants to have relationship with us. He makes statements and says, I shall be your God and you shall be my people. Wow. I, the creator of heaven and earth, will be your God and you will be my people. He makes those incredible pronouncements upon our hearts and upon our lives. And he says that upon us, I shall be your God and you shall be my people. So covenant is a very important thing. And we've got to understand about God and about his nature that God is a covenantal God. And that's ultimately what love is. It actually flows out of that. But again, even in our own relationships, we can be very fickle in our own relationships. We don't understand the substance of really what love is. It really comes back to this commitment. It's a commitment of relationship, to trust, to faithfulness and loyalty. It's a giving of the whole self. And it's something that is irrevocable. It's something enduring. And when God makes a covenant to us, he's saying, I'm doing this for you. Now, am I saying then, does that mean we don't have to do anything? Well, ultimately, for our salvation, all we have to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to do a whole lot of stuff on top of that, somehow to make us feel good, because we've got a little religious streak that creeps in, and we want to do something. Surely I've got to earn something. Surely, God, you just can't. How can you love me? There must be something that I have to do. Well, we have to just surrender and allow the grace and the love of God to flow on our lives. What we want to do, though, is we don't want to believe that. We want to believe that there must be something wrong with me, but because I'm not praying enough or I'm not doing that. Why would God just love me so much to the point of death, of Jesus dying on the cross? And so we don't want to do that. We want to make it that we have to do something and be a part of it ourselves. What about the Old Testament? What about the covenant that God said when he said, I lay before you. He said, these are the promises, but if you're outside of that, these are the curses. And again, just remember when God was laying down the law, when he did that, right at the very beginning, before the law, God was already a God of covenant. He already made covenant here with Abraham. He was the covenant-keeping God. He then put in circumcision and said, guys, as an outward sign to other people, then I want to have that. That's something that you need to do, cutting covenant and the cutting of the flesh, your own human flesh. You come into that, entering into that. Then later on, then the law comes because man is in a relationship with God. But man, we want to somehow do something and trying to find out how do I be a part of it. God put some laws in there to say, this is what, if you're within this, this is what my blessing looks like. This is what will happen. But if you choose not to be in this relationship, God doesn't make any of us puppets. Whether we come to Christ or not, it's our own decision. And the same with receiving his covenant line. He says to them, if you're in the covenant with me, this is all the blessing. But if you decide that you don't want to receive my love, if you decide that you don't want my blessing, if you decide you don't want my provision, if you decide that you don't want my healing and my grace and all of those things, if you step outside of that, this is the deal. This is what will happen to you. It's your choice. And saying, we as believers, we say, Lord, we're entering into that covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ. It depends on what he's done for us. And Lord, I don't want to move out of that. I'm not going to move out of that. I'm going to stay in that. I'm going to stay in that understanding and the revelation of who God is and who Christ is. It says in 1 Kings 8:23. So when the law was introduced, immediately what everyone wanted to do was they make now that the basis of a relationship. They make that the basis. But God actually made the law to protect relationship and so people could understand how to have relationship. But what we wanted to do was actually forget the whole relationship deal and put ourselves under bondage and just try to keep a whole bunch of rules, which no one could ever do. The purpose of covenant was always relationship. The law was always relationship, but people wanted to make it religion rather than relationship. 1 Kings 8:23 says, there's no God like you in heaven above. In heaven above or on earth below, you who keep your covenant of love. It's a covenant of love. Even the Old Testament law, the heart behind all of that is love. It's a covenant of love. It's God's heart of love that he has for us. Isaiah 55:3 says, it says, give ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. And that's his heart, that's his promise. God is a loving God, a caring God, a compassionate God. And he wants that love and grace to flow into our hearts. It's so important that we understand, Lord, I just want that to flow in my life. I don't want to reduce my relationship down to a whole lot of rules, whether I'm keeping them or not. Now, why do we live a holy life? We live a holy life because we grab a heart of God's heart, we grab a hold of that, and we know how much he loves us, and we just want to please him with all our heart. We don't do it because we have to or because we must, but we're saying, Lord, I have an understanding of who you are. I have an understanding of your covenant, Lord, how much you love me. And because you love me so much, then I'm going to live according to that. It's important that we grab a heart of that. It is actually a covenant of love. The whole Old Testament is all about God's heart of love. Men wanted to make it all about rules. And so the religious leaders got a hold of it and they put people under such bondages and they told them about the rule, but they didn't tell them about the love. Without the heart of God, without the relationship with God, it's impossible for people trying to make their way to God to be holy, for keeping law and bondages. They're never going to do it. But if there's an understanding and a revelation of Christ, then we're able to actually flow and begin to walk in that. In 1 John 3:16, we read it last week, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And so that's our only reason we're ever going to know what love is, the covenant of love that was sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we can begin to understand. We won't know what love is without understanding that he's made a covenant to us. We'll have a performance love. We'll love our wife. She's good to me. I'll be good to her. Not good to me. I'll be bad to her. Love our kids. Behave themselves. Good. Don't. Naughty kids. I'm going to withdraw my love and I'm going to pull back from them or I'll break relationship. We'll use that as a weapon rather than it's just distorted. That's so worldly, so evil, such a distortion. But the love of God flowing through us, unilateral, not dependent on performance, but just the heart of God flowing through our hearts and through our lives. And so apart from covenant, we can't even begin to have love and we can't even begin to understand how to love God. We need to understand his heart for us. Don't be one that lives out of religion. God's covenant with us, God's love flows out of us, it flows out of who he is. God's by very nature is love. God by very nature is a covenant-keeping God that makes these incredible statements to us, incredible promises to us, and he is faithful and to fulfill them if we want to receive that, if we want to allow him to flow in our life. It's initiated by grace. We've sung about grace. It's by his grace. We didn't deserve it. Hands up if you deserve to go to heaven. Put your hand down, you liar. Nobody put their hand up. It's okay. None of us do on our own merits. But by grace, because God for some reason loves us so much, he says, child, you are mine. And he showed us how much he loved us by sending Jesus to the cross to die, to seal a covenant promise with us for all eternity in his own blood. We didn't chop it. No bulls were chopped in half. Jesus said he shed his blood for us, his very blood, and made a covenant with us. And that's how we've got to live out of that, to live a life of love. We miss it. We miss that. We miss that he's just going to pour his love upon us because of Jesus Christ. And it's the love of God working in us and through us, changing us by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the life of love. But some of us will try to be more loving. And we're talking about love this year. I've got to try to be more loving. I better be a little bit more loving to my kids because, well, we're talking about it at church. I've got to be a little bit more loving to my wife. Well, we're talking about love. I've got to try to be a bit more loving. Some turkey chops me off. I won't think he's a turkey. I'll bless him instead. You know, we think of all the ways and things we're going to have to do, and we'll miss it the whole year. You'll miss it. If we talk about forgiveness, I've got to be more forgiving this year. I've got to do that. We'll think of all the things that we need to do rather than grabbing hold of the revelation of God and his love and allow it to change our lives so those things flow out of us. Because otherwise we're just going to fall again and again and then people get discouraged and I just can't do it because you can't do it. And that's why the cross is there. That's why Jesus died on the cross, because we can't do it. If we really want to love to that capacity that God wants us to love with, we've got to understand his love that flows to us and can flow through this. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He made a covenant. He's a covenantal God, and he keeps his covenant of love and his promises to us. He's a covenantal keeping God. But let's not make a covenant of love and turn it into a religion. And even as we're talking about being loving and loving, don't make that religious effort. Oh, you better smile, even though I don't want to. No, love God. Allow the love of God to flow through your life, that it'll just change demeanor. It'll change the way you think. It'll change your attitudes. And then you'll live that life of love, because the life of love is not, well, I've got to be more loving. You know, don't deserve it, but I better. That's not a life of love. A life of love is a revelation of who God is and allowing that to flow through our hearts and through our lives, that we'll just be loving because we understand how much God loves us, how committed he is to us. Because we think that our relationship with God is so conditional on my own performance, we make our relationships with other people conditional as well. We grab a hold of God's love for us, his covenantal love. We can begin to actually learn to love others in such a way, because it says there, and this is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his love for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Well, we're not going to be able to fully do that. We might try, but if we have a revelation of God and his love in our hearts, we will be able to do that. And that's my prayer this morning, that you'll understand that God is completely committed to you, so that when you come to God, if there's sin, deal with it. But some people are so sin conscious in their life that their whole relationship with God is one of confessing sins all of the time. And so all they ever feel that they are doing is, I start here the week, I'm close to God, and during the week I go away from God, and then I sort of work my way back, and here I am, God, I'm back, here I am. Well, that's not living in anything. That's living a life of failure, condemnation, hopelessness, worthlessness. How could God love me? Why would he want to heal me? Why would God want to bless me? Why would God want to help me? And we just find ourselves getting further and further away from God. God's not doing anything other than loving us, but we reduce our relationship with him on what we've done. When we sin, as I said, I'm not glossing over sin. Scripture says, what shall we say then? Shall sin abound so the grace will increase? No, of course not. If there's sin, we deal with it. But don't live a heart and a life full of sin consciousness. Live a life full of God consciousness and the love of God in your life. And you'll find the things that you're forever repenting of and forever saying, Lord, forgive me of, those things fall off. You'll find once you've got the revelation of God and the love flowing through your life, those things begin. It'll change. You're changing from the inside, and it's the love of God. You understand God is so committed to me. Doesn't matter what I do, God's going to love me to the point of death. He loved you to the point of death, made a covenant with you when you were least deserve it. The scripture says that when we least deserved it, Christ died for us. So the most vile and repulsive you can ever be is the very point God chooses you and picks you and says, you over there. He says, I'm actually making a covenant with you now. Think, what? Covenant with me? I've got nothing. I'm sinful. I'm wicked. I'm separated from you. And you said, no, I'm choosing you. And I've chosen you right now. And I, the eternal Father, makes a covenant with you. And it's sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm making a covenant that I'm going to be your Father, that you're going to be my child. I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. He makes that promise with us. And for every one of us who's given our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's made that covenantal promise with each and every one of us. What do we want to do? We want to, forgot to pray for Aunt Edna this week and, whatever else. And then we bring it back down to some sort of contract thing. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for us. Our sin has been dealt with, past, present, future. He's dealt with it. And he's saying, now stay in this covenant relationship with me. Allow that love to flow for your life. Let it change the way you think, the way that you feel, the attitudes, the way you talk to people, the way you think about people, the way that you do things. Allow it to work on your heart and your life. It's so important we grab a heart of that he is a covenant God. And it's there for us. You're struggling. You're saying, Lord, I really want the answer. I want the healing. But what happens is, well, you don't seem to have it. It's because a lot of the time our faith is operating out of this performance junk over here. Yeah, look, I know maybe, God, I don't really deserve it. But maybe I don't, Lord. Maybe, yeah, when I think about it, I understand, God. Yeah, I'm not right. You know, I don't pray enough. I don't do this enough or whatever else. And so trying to have faith is like this reaching out, this vain hope. Lord, somehow, I know you can, but I understand if you don't for me, I understand. But if we're over here and we're saying, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm in that covenantal relationship. Lord, I probably don't deserve it, but Lord, you love me so much, Lord, that I can stand in faith and I can claim what you've given me on the cross as my inheritance, what you've laid down for me. Lord, I can tap into that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, not because of me. You're not ever going to get healed because you had a good week, because you fasted and prayed 10 times trying to twist God's arm. Praying and fasting is very good, very powerful, but nothing about trying to get brownie points with God, nothing about trying to twist his arm. We staying in this covenantal relationship, how much stronger can our faith be? I am your healer. I am the Lord that heals you. I am your provider. And I am his Savior. He's all of these things for us. And we're in covenant. God made the promise. And I'm standing in the promise. My faith can rise to grab a hold of that. But back here, we think it's faith. It's wishful thinking. It's vain hope. Oh, I know you can, but I know. I understand. But maybe I should pray some more. And maybe I need to do some more. I've got to do something. And we get caught of that. God's saying, no, just stand over here because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand under this covenantal promise, this provision, and just be something. Be my child. Be the one I called you to be. Allow my love to change your life and change you. That's what we want to have that revelation of, because it breaks out of that mold of thinking in our heart. If we don't understand God's covenantal love, that it's a covenant, it's a promise to death, sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, then forever our faith will be waning. Forever we be living by what we see. Lord, I know you're my provider, but look at the bills. Lord, I know you're my healer, but Lord, I feel lousy or whatever else. But we're over here. We see that the blood of Jesus Christ covers everything, and we stand and we're able to receive all that. It's so important we grab a hold of this. If we don't understand this, and when we talk about love through the rest of the year, we'll talk about sacrificial love, we'll talk about selfless love, all those things, you'll grab a hold of it. And for a week, you'll be really good at it. You make some sacrifices. You know, rather than watching TV or something, you might ring someone up. Or maybe rather than doing this or doing that, you'll be really good at it for a week, maybe 2 weeks. But then you'll find you just slip back again. It's not a revelation. It's some knowledge that came into your heart. You need the foundation of the revelation of God, who God is. God is love. We talked about that last week. God is love. And we grab a hold of that. That love is not just for everyone else, it's for you. He loves you to the point of death, and yet we doubt him. He loves us to the point of death, and yet we don't trust him. He loves us to the point of death under his covenant, and yet we don't believe him. We've got to grab a hold of something in the Spirit of God, and it would change all our relationships. We're going to talk about, yeah, we'll talk about relationships, we'll talk about those things, but we've got to understand there's a covenantal platform for love, that love that comes from God. He's in covenant with us. You are my child, I will be your people, I am your God. You know, you read the promises of God, they're not their little, they're the little things that you read and say, gee, Lord, I wish I had that. They're the things we stand and we say, God, because of you made covenant with me, not because of me, but because of you, Lord, they're mine. And I can stand in that, not back here in the wishful thinking. But in the end of the time is the self-doubt, not good enough. Why would you bless me, Lord? I understand because you know yourself better than you are. Oh, I understand. But over here, it's not because of you, it's because of him. And then it flows. Your salvation has got nothing to do with you at all, other than to accept what Christ did on the cross, other than to enter into the covenant and say, Lord, I lay down my life. I'm not bringing anything into this deal. Lord, it's one way. Lord, you're bringing everything to me. But Lord, as your blood washes me, as I walk through that, all the muck and the sin of my life is gone, and now I stand as a covenant child with the love of God, full access to it in my life. And it will transform us, change every relationship. And we want to put God in our relationships. This year, we want to put God in all our relationships. That's the heart of radical love, is to do that and to have that heart of covenantal love. How do I do that in my relationships? Do I walk around with everybody, shake their hand and say, let's make covenant? And I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about understanding God's love. But there is a depth of love that God wants in our relationships. Very quickly, Malachi 2, it talks about marriage. And marriage is a great example of covenant relationship. In fact, when God put marriage in place, he said, this is an example of Christ and the church. You want to find out what my covenant looks like? Then have a look at a marriage. But what we do is the way we operate marriage. We don't operate marriage out of covenant. We operate it back here and out of fears and insecurities and whatever else. If God's not flowing through your marriage, you're going to struggle in every step. But if we're over here through the blood of Jesus Christ and we're flowing, the love of God will flow into our marriage. God in our marriage is so important. Malachi 2:14, it says, this is a whole passage where he talks about marriage and then talks about saying, I hate divorce and all those things. But he says, you ask why? And the question why is, well, why aren't we getting blessed? Why isn't it all happening? Why? It's because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth. Because you've broken faith with her. Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. And so it's covenant, marriage covenant is very important. Notice the Lord is a witness in the marriage. When we have a marriage service, we'll have a marriage here in a few weeks' time, which we're all looking forward to. Weddings are a great celebration. And people may come and be a witness, but the witness is God, is the one who binds it together. It's a covenant. And there's a whole lot of pressure on our politicians at the moment with gay marriage. You would have heard that. Two bills introduced recently into Parliament. They are relentlessly and continuously writing to your politicians, constantly emailing them, writing them. The group, ACT UP, I think they're called, are in there and they're right in their faces continuously. They're an unprecedented attack on marriages generally, but certainly on this particular issue of marriage. And they're in your politicians' face. I've actually written to every single MP in the country, or every federal one. And we need to be a voice, because tell you what, there's some loud voices out there. And my prayer is, but at the end of the day, there is no such thing as gay marriage, nor will there ever be such a thing as gay marriage. Even if they make a law that allows homosexuals to marry, and it still will never be marriage. Why can it never be marriage? Because marriage, number one, is something that God instituted. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the government. It doesn't even belong to the church. It belongs to God. And God himself instituted it as a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. And it's a covenant. And it's a covenant because it's bound together with God as a witness. It can never be a gay marriage, because God is not going to put his seal or his blessing or be a binding witness to that. And they can call it whatever they like. I know what God calls it. But it will never be that. And I pray that the laws never get passed. And it's important that we do make a stand on this particular issue. Or you may well find, if it does get passed, you'll be visiting us in whatever jail because we refuse to do a homosexual marriage. And they're the kind of things that secular commentators are now saying. So it is a serious issue. But it'll never be covenant. Covenant is really ultimately got God in it. Because if there's love in it, there must be God in it, because God is love. No God, There's not love. There's human affection, human affirmation, human companionship, human lust even a whole lot of stuff. But you'll never have a genuine love unless there's that covenantal love of God in it. Excuse me. It's so very important that we allow God into all our relationships. And even Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this. It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Now, quite often we apply that scripture to marriage, but that actually applies to all our relationships. That if you've got a friendship, well, you want God in the middle of that friendship. Your relationship with your parents, let's get God in that. Let's cement that with a covenantal bond. In other words, let's put God in. Let's put the heart of God into that relationship, children with parents. Let's put God in there. Relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to look at all these things later on, but rather than just loving each other with brotherly love, as the scripture says, it says move on from that and get, it says love each other deeply from the heart. Let's have that sacrificial carpe love. Let's have that radical love from the heart. Covenantal bonds. People don't understand that. People chop and change churches because they've got no understanding of covenantal churches. They break friendships and relationships. They don't talk to someone because someone looked at them sideways or didn't talk to them. They walked past them and whatever else. They don't understand the whole relationship of what love is. They don't understand covenant. But we want to understand and get a hold of that so it flows into every relationship that we have. And it's so important that we do that. How do we do that? As I said, we don't walk around to everyone and say, oh, you know, my son, I want to make covenant with you. Well, actually, as parents, we probably have. We've got a very good relationship with our kids, maybe in the sense we probably have. But do you go around to everyone you meet and start throwing it around? Well, you don't do that. I'm not saying to do that. But how do I bring God into my relationship? What even an unbeliever? All right, I can't be yoked to them. It says don't be yoked to an unbeliever. But how do I still relate to them and still love them? In other words, how do I bring God into my relationship? Because unless I bring God into it, there's affection, there's an affinity with one another, there's companionship, there's friendship, there's all those things. But how do I bring real love? Because it's the love of God that will change the people's hearts. It's the love of God that's going to lead people to Christ. It's going to enable us to see all the names in the Book of Life. One, it's the love of God. We've got to somehow, how do you put God in there? Because we've got to put God in every relationship. And it's not going there all the time and wearing Jesus t-shirts at every family gathering. I'm not talking about that. How do you bring the love of God, the covenant love of God, which touches our hearts because of the blood of Jesus Christ? How do we do that? Well, one of the things we do is we need to pray. Begin to pray for people. Pray for them. You start praying for people, you start allowing the blessing of God to flow in their life. You begin to start praying for them. And if you have the opportunity, pray with them. Take them aside and begin and pray with them. Now, you'll be amazed at how open people are for you to pray with them. Now, some people aren't. That's fine. Some people, the scripture says that even if someone rose from the dead and said, hi, love Jesus, they're not going to do it. Some people are like that. But a lot of people, if they're going through something and you just say, look, I'm praying for you. And if you tell people you're praying for them, more than 9 out of 10, maybe 99 out of 100. Most people would say, oh, thank you. Actually, unbelievers are actually quite touched if you tell them you're going to pray for them. So I'm going to pray for you. And say, look, actually more than that, even I'm in a home group and it's a bunch of us and we actually want to pray for you as a home group. Is that okay? Really, you're going to get other people to pray for me? Wow. Okay, yeah. People, they don't even know. No, it's okay. We'll pray for you because I know you and they know me and we'll pray for you. That touches people's hearts. You get the opportunity, and you know, there's times you say, I'll pray for you, and they go, oh, goodness, I'll pray right now. And there's something, oh, now? I said, yeah, well, why not? Oh, okay, all right, you can pray with them. Now, some people might not want you to pray right now, right, because they might be in the middle of a crowded building or in a supermarket or wherever, in the office. Some people might get a little freaked out by that, but that's okay. Pray with them. As soon as you start putting pray in them, you start releasing God into it. Then real love can flow. The love of God can flow. You want a heart for the lost. You want a heart for people to get saved. Start praying for them. You don't pray for them, you won't have a heart for the lost. You'll feel guilty every time we talk about it. But you won't have a heart for the lost because you don't pray. You want a real heart for the lost. Start praying for the lost, allowing the love of God to start coming through there, and it'll be a genuine love of God, a real love for people that don't know Jesus Christ. So pray for them. Other ways to begin to see people as God sees them. God chose you, like we are the perfect examples, me, you, and you think, someone look at you and say, why on earth would God choose you of all people? And you look in the mirror and you might say, God, why of all people would you choose me? Because you know me. You know, but God who knows you knows everything about you. As I said, he picks us out and said, I'm going to make covenant with you. I'm going to seal it with the death of my son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And you can be, and I'll be your savior and I'll be your healer, all of those things. And so what we can do is begin to think of people a little bit differently. Say, God, well, actually, if you can choose me, you can choose them. If you chose me, if you love me, Lord, you can love them. And not only can he actually does love them. In fact, when he died on the cross, he died for all mankind, the scripture says. It's just a matter for people just to walk through and say, okay, I'm going to walk through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the wash away as I come into that covenant relationship with the Father, as I allow the Jesus Christ to wash my sin away. And God loves them too. But we begin to think about people a little differently. And so that's something I pray that we'll begin right across this year. See everyone as someone that Jesus died for. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard to see people like that. Sometimes you know, you feel like more like killing them than seeing that Jesus died for them. But if we begin to allow the love of God touch our heart and say, Lord, you died for this person. Lord, you love this person. And you love me. So who am I to stand here in judgment of them? Who am I now to, Lord, I'm just going to learn to love and I'm going to try to bring God in there by just thinking about them differently. And try to be gracious to people. Now I'm using the word try here, and it's a dangerous word, try, because I don't want us to fall into legalism. But be conscious of that when the love of God is flowing through us, it's going to enable us to be more gracious and to be more forgiving. If you're mindful, and Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, then your Father in heaven won't forgive you. Oh, really? Yeah, he said that. But is that like a legalist thing? No, he's saying that just understand how much I love you. Let's flip it around. I love you so much that I forgave you. Who are you not to forgive someone else? Amen. That's the reality of it. If I can forgive you, the Father says, how can you not forgive other people? How can you not do that? And so we can't hold those things of the love of God flowing through our life. And our relationships, don't be fickle in your relationships. People chop and change and they're best friends with this one and now they're that one. A little 12-year-old girls are probably like that in the schoolyard. But how many adults grow up like that? Even men who act like 12-year-old girls in the schoolyard. Because somebody upset them and someone did something or whatever, so they get in an all huff and take my Barbie doll home. And they get all upset. And you know, very fickle in their relationships. People do that with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that a tragedy? People will do that. But let's have an understanding and saying, Lord, no, I'm going to allow the love of God. Because covenant undergirds love. If you can remember that statement, forget everything else, remember that. Covenant undergirds love. God is love. God is a covenant-keeping God. And if we're going to have genuine, loving relationships, then the heart of covenant needs to flow through that. And so I pray this morning we just begin to understand, begin to see things maybe a little differently and say, Lord, it's not so much about performance, about actually moving from this place over here and saying, Lord, I am a covenant child. God, you chose me even when I didn't deserve it. That's what grace is. Lord, you blessed me even when I didn't deserve it. That's what his favor is upon our lives. And it's all there for us. And so I pray that God's going to shift our thinking. It's probably not going to all happen on one morning, but across this year that we're going to learn to actually live a life of love. Get out of a life of trying to be good enough, trying to make it, trying to earn it, trying to impress, all of those kind of things. And learn to actually live a life of love, flowing from God who is the source, and actually live our lives like that every day. And to be ones who can actually pray in faith out of a covenantal love of God. That's where my faith comes from. Not based on whipping myself up with enough good things, so I now got enough faith. Now I can believe because I feel really good today. I had a good week. I was a good boy. No. Our righteousness, self-righteousness, is never enough. It's only the love of God and his righteousness. But we can come in total faith before God, complete faith before God. And I encourage you, let's stand to our feet. We're just going to pray. Maybe you're someone that's really struggled on that. And your whole relationship with God, this whole idea of knowing that he's in covenantal love with us, that he's so committed to us. And you struggle with that. You always find that you're always in performance mode again. I'd love to pray with you this morning, but I want to pray for all of us, because we all really need to grab a hold of something in God, a revelation in God. It transforms our lives, transforms your family, transforms your neighborhood, your workplace, transforms everyone who ever knows you, ever meet, once we grab a hold of this. So Father, we just, as we come before you now, Father, we just acknowledge, Lord, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you entered into a covenant with us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we had nothing to bring other than a bunch of sin and failure and weakness. But Lord, you took us. Lord, you chose us. Lord, you washed away that sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you stood and you made a covenant commitment to us, which flows out of the very nature of who you are. Lord, that we are now connected to you, Lord. We're connected to that love, Lord. We can actually have the real love in our hearts. But Lord, it's an enduring, binding thing that is indissolvable, Lord, that you've proven by the sacrifice of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we stand under that right now. Right now, every person that is here that has given their heart to Jesus Christ, right now stands under that. And so, Father, we can really come in faith, Lord, knowing because you're in covenant, the covenant-keeping God, Lord. It's a part of your nature. It's a part of who you are, because God is love, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you expressed that to us so powerfully through Jesus on the cross. Father, I pray, Lord, let there be a shifting in our thoughts. Lord, that we'll be people, Lord, that really will be radical in our love, Lord, that it will be stand out. Father, it will be different from the norm, but ultimately it is coming from the source of you, Lord, out of Father, Lord, that covenant, Lord, the understanding that will begin to permeate our relationships, Father, that people will look at us and say, man, you're different. There's something about you. And they just begin to see that. Father, we just thank you now, Lord, that we stand right now, under the covenantal blessing and under the covenantal favor of our God. Lord, that we stand before you totally perfect in our righteousness because of Jesus Christ. And Father, that we can even come to you right now with the things that are burning on our hearts. And Lord, that your word says, Lord, that if we come in faith, if we ask, we shall receive it. And so, Lord, even now, Lord, we bring things to you, Father, as we stand in a covenantal love, not a performance, not a religious expression of that. But, Father, we stand in that now. Father, right now, Lord, I know that people are asking for some things. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just bring them now in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand in faith now in Jesus' name and the promise of your covenantal blessing in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, if there's anyone that's here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Lord, that maybe knows religion, but, Lord, doesn't know relationship, Father, I pray, Lord, that this day they'll say, I've got enough of religion, Lord, I've got enough of trying, Lord. And I'll say, Lord, I want that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want that sacrifice for my sins to count. And I want to be in that covenantal relationship with my Father in heaven. Father, I pray that you touch their hearts right now. And, Lord, as we just close the service, begin to pray for people, Lord, they'll have the courage to come and receive you this day, Father. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.